Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Looks like the Bulls have a new vice president of basketball operations, Arturis Connor Chauvis. We've been spending a lot of time on the show and on the station talking about it. I know that Daryl Morey is going to be on McNeil and Parkins at 3 o'clock. We got a GM of our own that we can talk to. Ryan McDonough used to be GM of the Phoenix Suns. He's now a radio.com basketball insider, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park. Ryan, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, good afternoon, Lawrence. Thanks for having me on.
What do you know about Arturis Connor Chauvis?
A lot. Arturis and I go back a decade and more in the NBA. As your listeners probably know at this point, he's held a number of jobs in the league, starting with the league office and then going to the Houston Rockets and their international scouting department, and then in Denver working his way up the ladder there and ultimately being the number two guy to Tim Connelly, who's the president of basketball ops. And Arturis was a big part of helping build the Nuggets into one of the best teams in the NBA, their young up-and-coming group who just missed the Western Conference Finals by a game a year ago. And a lot of the talent on that young roster was brought in by Tim Connelly and Arturis Connor Chauvis. So I think this is a great hire for the Chicago Bulls.
Were you hoping to get an interview with the Bulls?
Oh, you know, I'm really enjoying the broadcasting. I'm enjoying, you know, working with you guys, working for Entercom. Mike D, our big boss, has been great to me. So doing the show on Scalin Pals and doing the interviews, that's been a nice change of pace, Lawrence. So, I didn't get a call from the Bulls, but, certainly no hard feelings on my end. I think they got a great guy for the job.
Oh, so what is about him? Because just about everyone that I've read or listened to, talked to, has said that this was a great choice. Do you agree?
I do. I think he checks every box that you're looking for when you go through his background. He was born in Lithuania. He was one of the first European players, especially one of the first players from Eastern Europe, to come over and play college basketball at Seton Hall. He had a very successful career there, and then he went on to Europe and was a high-level player in Europe. In fact, he was one of the best players on the continent for a while. And then from there, I mentioned, you know, going to the league office after his playing days were over, and the international scouting background with the Rockets and with Denver as well. So he really checks every box. He's done the job at a high level, being the number two guy in the Nuggets hierarchy to Tim Connelly, and they built one of the best franchises, one of the best cultures in the league, and I think the Bulls were lucky to get him out of Denver.
All right, well then let's start talking about the actual way that this works, because this is what fascinates me. You've done this before. You've worked inside a couple of different organizations. What would be the first thing that he's going to do once this becomes official?
Yeah, so the first thing he's going to do is evaluate the entire organization, top to bottom, starting with the head coach and the coaching staff, and then also looking at the front office. In fact, the front office part may get priority because those are changes he could make now with the uncertainty as far as not knowing whether the season's going to resume or not, especially with the Bulls being a non-playoff team or tourists, or none of us know at this point if there'll be any more regular season games played. So he can look at, you know, who's currently in the walls of the Bulls organization and see which ones he wants to keep or which ones he wants to give an opportunity to, and then also see if there's anybody that he needs to bring in with him immediately, if there's any immediate help he needs. So I think, you know, in some ways, this hiatus will give Arturis a unique opportunity in season, if assuming the season does restart at some point, that, you know, he'll be able to evaluate the organization. He won't have the day-to-day pressure of having games every other night and, you know, really talk to a number of people internally and externally about what the Bulls need, and then he'll have, you know, several months, if not longer than that, to put his plan into action.
Obviously, when you took over, there had been a regime before you in Phoenix. What were those conversations like with you talking to people that were wondering if they were going to stay on as a scout or as someone who worked in the front office or a cross-checker or even a coach?
That's one of the biggest challenges of the job, Lawrence. Arturis Karnišovas is the most popular guy in the NBA right now. His phone is ringing off the hook from scouts, from executives, from agents, from players. I mean, he's got everybody in the basketball world wanting to get in touch with him, either to try to get in the door with the Bulls organization or the people who are already inside the organization, I'm sure want to know, you know, what their standing is. It's only human nature to want to know what their future holds. So he's going to have to sift through all that, you know, and I think there'll be some tough calls to make. Anybody I've been around, whether it's a head coach or especially a top executive like Arturis going into the Bulls situation, they don't want to do the same things the previous guys did, Lawrence. They want to do something different. They want to put their own spin on it, especially when you look at a team like Chicago, who has a lot of young talent in the roster, but is 11th in the East with a 22-43 record, and they're slotted 7th in the lottery, as you know. He's going to have to make some changes. So he's going to want to evaluate all that. He's going to figure out what he needs immediately, and then there may be some period of time, you know, maybe over months, maybe up to a year, Lawrence, where he evaluates the people internally with the Bulls and decides who's a good fit with him, who he can work with, and who has to go.
So you don't expect that there's just going to be broad sweeping changes, that this he might take his time to kind of figure out exactly what he needs.
Well, I think there are a couple challenges, Lawrence, with broad sweeping changes. One is the uncertainty about the season restarting, right? You know, that we could be playing basketball games in a month or two. I think that's probably optimistic. Or we could be playing again in October, November, or not until 2021. Nobody knows at this point. So that's the first issue. The second issue is one that the Bulls ran into throughout their search, is that a lot of top candidates, especially with Arturis at the top of the masthead for the Bulls, talk about bringing in a number two guy. Other guys who were number two guys with their current organizations who work for teams, a guy like Chad Buchanan with the Indiana Pacers, Troy Weaver with Oklahoma City, Bobby Webster with Toronto, either they withdrew from the process or were not granted permission to interview. So if Arturis does want to hire somebody who's currently under contract with a team, he needs to get permission to do that. And as we saw, you know, when the Reinsdorfs are running their process, not every team is willing to grant permission for their top guys to interview for jobs, especially if they view it as a lateral job or if a position, especially in this time with so much uncertainty, would be very difficult to fill if that candidate left.
Speaking with former Suns GM and Radio.com basketball insider Ryan McDonough here on The Score, how long did it take you to feel like I have all the things I need in place?
It takes a while, Lawrence. I think it took at least 6 months to a year for us to be comfortable, for me to get comfortable in Phoenix. Keep in mind that we inherited a team that won 25 games, finished last in the Western Conference, and by all accounts was the least talented team in the NBA. So there was a lot of work to be done. I think Arturis walks into a much better situation than I did with the young talent on the roster and with the stability from you know, the Reinsdorf family. That they're obviously very loyal to John Paxson, and they're relatively loyal to Gar Foreman, and people around the league notice that, and I think that's in addition to the young talent on the roster, part of what made this such an attractive job and why a lot of candidates wanted this job, and again, they hired a great one in Arturis Karnišovas.
Let me ask you to do a little bit of scouting. Like, you've talked a little bit about the Bulls roster. When you look at the Bulls as a team, what are the pieces that you see could weather a change in direction by Arturis?
Yeah, another good question, Lawrence. So one of the issues we ran into in Phoenix, other young teams have run into it as well. I'm seeing it right now in Atlanta, is having too many young players you're trying to develop at the same time. And I think the teams that come out of a rebuild relatively quickly or relatively well have to pick and choose which of the young players are going to make it, which players are go-forward players, and which guys have to be let go or, you know, traded or cut or what have you. And that's usually not easy to do, especially if you've drafted those players and you've you know, built a relationship with them and you have some, you know, in some ways they're tied to your performance as an executive. But that's not the case with Arturis Karnišovas. He comes in fresh, and he can determine which guys to go forward with on the Bulls roster. As I look at their roster, Lawrence, the guys that stand out to me are Lauri Markkanen, trying to figure out, you know, why he got off to such a good start. I saw Lauri play in Finland in 2017, shortly after the Bulls drafted him. He looked terrific. He had a good rookie year. And then, you know, why hasn't he played as well the last couple of years? I know some of that's been injury-related. Wendell Carter is another guy that I have high hopes for. He's had some injury issues as well. Zach LaVine is, you know, was the Bulls' best player this year and a borderline all-star. So I'd look at those three guys and Coby White, maybe those four guys to carry through, see, you know, what you can do to supplement them, to complement them. And if some of the other guys don't make it, if Chris Dunn or Denzel Valentine or Chandler Hutchinson, just to name three young players in the roster, don't make it, so be it. But I think there is an opportunity for Arturis to make some moves that move on for some young players, bring in more veteran players, and vault the Bulls to contention in the Eastern Conference over the next few years.
When I look at Arturis's background, with him being a bronze medal winner in 92, his work with the league on international projects, I feel like it's an advantage for the Bulls to have a guy that has this, he's this versed in a game that's becoming global. Am I overstating that, or is there a value to a guy that has links to the Israeli league, the leagues in Europe, the Chinese Basketball Association?
No, that is important, Lawrence. And just look at the Denver Nuggets. I mean, a lot of the best players they brought in while Arturis was a member of the Nuggets front office were international players, including Nikola Jokic, who's been a borderline MVP candidate the past couple of years, and it will go down as one of the best second-round picks in NBA history. So in addition to Nikola Jokic, they drafted Yusuf Nurkic, another young center, and they felt in Denver that those two guys wouldn't play well together, that they were both a little bit redundant and kind of got in the way of each other's development. So they flipped Nurkic to Portland for Mason Plumlee, and Nurkic has blossomed and played very well for the Trailblazers. So you look at that aspect of what they've done in Denver, and you like it, but you also look at the North American players they've drafted, guys like Jamal Murray with the 7th pick. They got Gary Harris in the late teens. Malik Beasley was in the same range as well in a different draft. So they've drafted very well, and the two main reasons for that are Tim Connolly, the president of the Nuggets, and Arturis Karnišević, which I think would be music to the ears of Bulls fans, that one of the guys who built a young powerhouse team in Denver is now running their basketball operation.
What do you think of how the league is right now, and where do you think it's going from a player and player development standpoint? Like, what are the things that Arturis or any successful GM is going to have to pay attention to over the next 5 years to make a franchise successful?
Yeah, I think the balance, Lawrence, is trying to develop players while also trying to keep the team competitive. And that's something, obviously, we didn't do a great job of in Phoenix. I think the Bulls, to some extent, have struggled with that as well. Like, I mean, their young players play a lot. They get a lot of minutes. I'll mention, the Atlanta Hawks, who played almost exclusively first and second-year players this year, and we saw how, you know, what the results were. They weren't very good, especially over the first half of the season. So is there a way for you to develop your young players while also establishing a culture of winning, or at least a culture of playing competitively and not getting blown out that often, where the guys walking into the locker room on any given night feel like they have a chance to win? And I think the franchises do that better than others, whether that's slowly bringing along young guys and having them develop either in the G League or in practice settings or in limited game action, rather than just throwing, you know, 19 and 20 year old kids out there and letting them sink or swim. I think the organizations that do that better than others have an advantage. And again, I also think the organizations that pick and choose the best young players and realize that no team in NBA history has successfully developed 5 or 6, 7 young players at a time. You have to pick and choose the best ones and move on from the rest. And I think that's what Arturis Karnišević will do over the next year or so.
Ryan, this was a lot of fun, man, and very informative. I appreciate the time. I know that you're doing great work with Radio.com Sports and checking out all the cool stuff with all the hoop heads on Radio.com. You guys have put together a powerhouse lineup.
Yeah, we're enjoying it, Lawrence. We're taking a little break from Scalin Pals, but we hope to be back on air early June. And, like a lot of it with the NBA, we're dependent on when the league starts up again. But we have great basketball talk with Kendrick Perkins and, obviously, Brian Scalabrine, the star of our show. So we hope to be started soon. And we hope some of your listeners, before they tune into your show, they listen to us as well.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem sharing the wealth. Do you have a pick for who you would like to see in the horse competition and who you think will win it?
Well, if we're talking about horse, now Zach LaVine is a contestant, right? So
yeah.
What I'm wondering, Lawrence, is if Zach LaVine starts from half court and takes off from the free throw line and dunks, nobody else can do that, right? I don't think anybody physically can do that. So if he decides to go there and that is allowed in the competition, I don't see how any of these guys beat him, especially Paul Pierce, who we had for 10 years and is one of the main reasons I have an NBA championship ring from my time with the Celtics. But Paul's in his mid-40s now. I don't know what he does physically. I don't even know if Paul can dunk anymore, never mind take off from the free throw line like Zach does. So that would be my pick, Lawrence, if they allow players to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, if they allow him to dunk, I think that Zach's at a real advantage. He's not my pick to win it, though, because I think they're going to outlaw dunking. My pick is Allie Quigley from the Chicago Sky. I think that she's going to win this thing.
Interesting. Going to the WNBA, that's a good selection. One other one to keep an eye on. Trae Young is participating as well, right? So, if who knows what kind of setup these guys are going to have if they have an indoor court and if they're able to go out to half court. But if Trae starts doing his thing from the logo, especially the off the dribble shots from just over half court, those are tough to make as well. He does it in game action, so I imagine he can do it at a high level in a horse competition as well.
What's the craziest shot you ever saw in warm-ups?
Boy, good question. I've been around a lot of great shooters. I was in Golden State. I was in San Francisco for the Warriors training camp this year, and I just sat there for about an hour waiting for Bob Myers and Kirk Lakeham and some of their executives to finish meetings and watch Steph Curry shoot, obviously prior to Steph's injury, and that was an experience. We had Ray Allen in Boston watching him go through shooting drills. And then a young guy we had in Phoenix, Lawrence, who is first-time All-Star this year, Devin Booker does shots in practice that are kind of like what Klay Thompson does, where he doesn't fully bring the ball down or he doesn't go through his normal shooting routine. He just kind of catches and flicks it like as if a defender were closing out on him. And the creativity of those shots and the level at which Devin Booker makes those shots were really impressive, especially given that when I was with Devin with the Suns, he was in his early 20s.
Ryan, thanks again for jumping on, man. We'd love to have you on again soon.
Yeah, anytime, Lawrence. I appreciate you having me on, and it's an exciting day for the Bulls. They got a good one in Arturis Karnišovas.
That is Ryan McDonough of Radio.com Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.